Hi, this is Scott Roberts of the Dexter Podcast, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
You guys, I have been a Habitat fan for a long, long time and worked on builds and bought stuff at Restore, and I love seeing you guys down at the home show. Tell me a little bit about what you do, as you said, general manager, right?
Yes, ma'am. So, yeah. What we do, the Restore takes in new and used building and remodeling supplies. We sell those supplies through our two Restore locations to the public at a deep discount, and then use the funds that we generate through the sale to help build the Habitat homes here in St. Louis City and County. We opened our store in 97. We opened an expansion location over in De Pere behind the Sam's Club at Manchester and 270 in July of 2013. As of now, we are building roughly four homes through the proceeds that we're able to generate through our two stores.
Nice. I love it.
That's per year.
Habitat's not just in St. Louis, and most of our listeners hopefully have heard of Habitat because y'all are all over the world, correct?
That's correct. And the Habitat for Humanity is global. The Restore program is becoming global. The
first
one opened actually in Canada in 92, and then later in 92, Austin, Texas was the first U.S. one. Since then, we're now about to hit 900 Restores in North America alone.
So, whoa, I had no idea it was that many.
Yeah, we're obviously meeting demand.
At the home show, you've got stuff from the Restore here, and I'm assuming folks can buy it?
Absolutely, yeah. We've got.
So tell us what you have.
We've got a sampling of merchandise here. We've got a cabinet set, countertops, sinks, dishwashers, stainless steel appliances, light fixtures, sconces, and
oh my gosh, some amazing looking stuff.
And we've also brought some books here that have sample merchandise over the last several months, just to give people an idea of what comes in. It's both new and used from area residents and corporations.
You're on the Green Pavilion, or in the Green Pavilion area. Why do y'all qualify as green?
Well, through our program, most of the items that we get in that are donated to us are would otherwise go to landfill. Not because
yeah.
they are waste, but because if it's unwanted or obsolete or whatnot and you're changing it out, you didn't have a lot of options. That's why there's now 900 Restores. What we do is take in these products. And since our inception in 97, we've diverted about 33,000 tons of waste, which is an enormous number.
Wow. That's like the equivalent of 33,000 cars or something, and weight.
If you were to pack a 53-foot trailer full of merchandise and then put the 53-foot trailers from downtown St. Louis to 270 and 40, you can go from downtown out there and back and start going back to 270 and 40. It's an enormous amount of waste.
Wow.
Great way to follow the three R's: reuse, recycle,
reduce.
Except you should start with reduce.
Exactly.
Oh, well, whatever. We'll get it there. Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes. And we really appreciate you talking with our listeners on the Green Gab Podcast today.
Yeah, thank you.
As HBA members, Home Builders Association members, I know you all show up at these events. At least the last few years I've been around. What's the value you get as part of the Home Builder Association community and as part of the home show?
Specifically is speaking one-on-one with potential clients or donors and giving us the opportunity to express exactly what it is we do. There's a lot of misconceptions. What we get in, if we're open to the public, are we just taking donations and putting them straight in our homes? there's so many things that it's nice to have a one-on-one conversation and work through that. If it fits our building spec, we're a lead platinum builder at Habitat for Humanity St. Louis. Fit spec, it goes directly into our homes, but
nice.
Otherwise, you know, we find another way to generate the revenue from those items and continue to
build.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, I've actually worked on a couple of the homes here in the St. Louis area, so
excellent. Thank
I
you
love
very
it.
Much.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, I've actually worked on the builds, and I've also contributed the homeowner's manual, online homeowner's manuals for some of the homes. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. How they can be found?
Yeah, tell us your website and how you can be found both in St. Louis and around the world.
Sure, it's www.habitatstl.org, and you'll find both our affiliate information for where we're building, what we do, what our program is, as well as our information for our Restore. There's links to check out our merchandise. There's links to look at family stories about our homeowners, all kinds of stuff on there.
And if people in other cities want to find you, they go to Habitat International?
Habitat.org, and then it'll just ask for your zip code. You plug it in, and it'll give you all of your local resources.
There you go. Easy to do it. Check out Habitat, you guys. If you haven't done it, Restore's a great resource, and I found all kinds of good stuff there. So thanks for being at the show, and thanks for being part of our community. We really appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Jim.
Check out the book, Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, to make simple changes to buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Marla Esser-Close shows consumers ways to make any home a green home. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
You can try and learn about voiceover all by yourself, or you can get you and your voice to school. Check out Voice Farmers VoiceOver Academy today and learn how you can make money with your voice. It's all available over at voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Well, the Green Gap Podcast is continuing to inspirate.
You know, you were just making up some words.
I love it. Hey, inspirate, inspire, and educate. Come
I like
on.
The co-opertition,
too. Makes perfect
too. Sense. Co-opertition, that was a good one as well.
Oh, my gosh. If we have a way to figure out how to like do outtakes from all of the content we are capturing here at the St. Louis Home and Garden Show.
That'd be a podcast all its own.
It might be. I mean, Mike does figure out how to work magic with all
this
stuff.
This is where the bonus video would come
into play. The bonus video. We've been doing Facebook Lives of a lot of this stuff, and anybody that's listening in, since the podcast gets posted a lot later, go back on our Facebook page for the Green Gab, and you can check out the live video and the pictures. You can see the podcast bug, and it's super cool. Paul's sitting here looking at me going, wow.
I'm learning all about it.
You're like, seriously?
It's so cool. Hey, Paul, introduce yourself real quick. He's our across the hallway, what do you call
across
it?
Across the aisle.
Across the aisle neighbor, and also someone I've known for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Been nice knowing you. And
I'm not going away.
Over the years.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Paul McKnight. I'm owner of EFS Energy. We're a solar power company. We install solar panels on residential and commercial buildings. And pretty awesome.
Sell, install, consult.
Yeah,
all that
consult,
stuff, right?
We consult, absolutely. It's always important to conserve energy as well as produce your own.
Good
so,
point.
I'm sure you can help out with the consulting on how to save energy.
Maybe
a little bit more than I.
Now, do you guys get into like energy audits or anything like that?
We used to do energy audits in-house. I do have a BPI certified guy that has all of the equipment, blower door and thermal imaging camera and all that.
All that techie stuff.
But we actually stopped doing it just because he's so busy with solar now. So we are outsourced to Call Smart House.
Okay.
We have a good relationship with those guys. They do a really good job. So we always send our people to them.
Excellent.
Too busy with solar to do anything else is a really good thing to hear.
Yeah.
That's got to be getting you excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
You guys are that busy.
We did really well in 2016. Relatively. We struggled through a couple of years after the Missouri rebates dropped off, but things have really kind of turned around. We got some great new financing models. Yeah, these guys right across from me, Renovate America.
With the PACE financing?
With the residential PACE, which is a pretty big deal, with Missouri being only the third state in the country to implement a residential PACE program.
And let me put a real quick plug. If you are listening to this podcast and you haven't heard our podcast on PACE financing with Renovate Energy, go check out their program. It's called the HERO program with Renovate America. It is a way to pay for energy efficient improvements in your home through a loan against your property taxes. So it's really some novel kind of financing. Check it out, because you can use it for solar panels, right?
Right, and other energy efficiency upgrades as well. There's also special financing available through some other banks that we work with, which are kind of interesting. You can get a 12-year fixed interest term. So those are pretty good as well. And then also Illinois is really blowing up this year. They did
Not
really well last
right?
year.
Sorry, had to do it.
I hope not.
They've got a good state program going on.
Since so they're the, doing. You're doing a lot of work in both states, it sounds like, Missouri and Illinois.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of work in Illinois now, especially with the farmers. They can get the USDA REAP grant, as well as write most of the equipment off as a tax write-off, as they're using it for the farm.
As a business expense?
Right.
Oh,
and,
cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
and then they get
that.
The federal 30% and the state rebate as well for the state is purchasing renewable energy certificates from them. So
farmers and ranchers sound like such a perfect fit to me.
It is. It's a perfect fit, and they're all over it. As soon as we show them the numbers, they want to do it. So
the biggest thing is they have space.
Yeah, they have space. It's not an issue.
Yeah, regardless of whether they're putting it on the house, they can, you know, put an array, you know, 100 feet away from the house if they wanted to. They don't have to worry about the neighbor going, oh, that looks ugly.
Right.
Well, plus a lot of times there's a lot of outbuildings.
Right.
Because they've got, I would think, a lot
of
different kinds of real estate.
You can put them up on a barn or, you know, a lot of them go up on a barn. You know, put them on a metal roof that's going to last. You don't have to worry about replacing shingles under it, things like that. Or you just put it on the ground, it's out of the way. You just trench the power back and looks good.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
So tell us why people want to look at solar. Why is this, pardon the pun, but why is it so hot right now?
I mean, you know, a lot of people that we talk to say that they're just going to be really happy to not have to pay their electric bill anymore. And now that's not always the case. You know, it's supplemental to your usage. You can offset 100% of your usage in some cases.
Okay.
A lot of times you aim to offset maybe 80 to 90% and then do some energy efficiency upgrades at the same time to get you the rest of the way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you always have those little connection fees and
right. You're
know,
always
going to
pay a connection
taxes.
Fee.
Yeah.
You know, the utilities do have fixed costs that they have to maintain the grid and everything. You're still going to pay, you know, somewhere between $8 and $20 depending on where you live.
Right.
For a connection fee, but you can offset 100% of your usage
right.
after that. So, brings your power bill down to basically zero.
In reality, all it is a municipal tax. That's the way you got to look at it.
You got to pay to upkeep the utilities.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, for the common good, I guess.
For the common good.
There
That's
you
right.
go.
What it is.
There you go. Solar's got a lot of kind of misunderstandings and myths around it. And I think a lot of things have changed very quickly in the solar industry over the last 5 or 6 years. What are a couple of the myths and misunderstandings that you might want to make sure people know are
I would say,
different?
I would say the biggest one that comes to my mind is a lot of people think it's ugly. They say, solar's ugly, and they don't want to see it on their roofs, and homeowner associations don't want them visible from the street. Historic districts don't want them visible from the sidewalks or the street or anywhere. So there's a lot of thought that it just looks bad on a rooftop. Originally, it did, and so like it's a fair kind of presumption if you haven't seen the latest stuff. So a lot of people think about solar thermal panels that used to be sticking up at a 50-degree angle off of somebody's rooftop with big racking behind it. And it was pretty ugly. You know, you had these big black panels. And then, you know, as it progressed from there, the solar electric panels, most of them had that blue multicrystalline look to them where they had like a blue and white and silver, you know, kind of combination that reflected a lot of sun and just kind of looked out of place on people's rooftops. And now most of them are a dark, like a black or dark blue to like a black color. A lot of them have black frames, hidden rails, things like that, so they can integrate really nicely onto the roof and not be obtrusive. And most people don't notice them. Most people are not driving around looking at rooftops.
Yeah.
And,
at least we
check
it
out.
That there's very visible systems that a lot of people don't realize that they see it every day.
Yeah, they blend in a little bit more now. They definitely
That's
blend
true,
in more.
They do. I think a lot of people that I've talked to think their homeowners association, if they're in a subdivision with a homeowners association, they kind of assume that their homeowners association won't let them do it.
Yeah, it just depends on how restrictive the homeowners association is. They come by and if they send you a warning letter because, you know, your trash can sat out an extra day or something, like, you're probably going to assume that they're not going to want you to do anything else to your property. But we found that a lot of them have been kind of coming around and easier to work with.
I would think if they're not, like, I know some homeowners associations that I've had conversations with people in them have said they're more restrictive if they show from the street, and that's really their big thing.
Yeah, but I think and, the aesthetics, they're trying like to do, you said, they're trying to do better. Solar shingles and stuff like that, and eventually it'll be even more integrated into the roof. I don't think they look ugly. Obviously, I'm biased, but you know, once it looks like the actual roofing material, or once it actually is the roofing material, then
like the new shingles that were announced
you won't
by
even
Tesla.
See it. If you're even looking for it.
That's my dream house. Is enough solar to power my electric car when I get it.
Yeah,
in my house.
Gotta charge the car with it too.
Well, and I would think too, with solar becoming more and more mainstream, homeowner associations are probably going to have to start adapting, because
I think they already have.
There's some legislation happening right now that's going to prevent them from just strictly outlawing solar panels. They have to have a better reason than that.
Okay. Right. That but I can sense. Also see, you know, potential lawsuits.
There's already lawsuits going on.
From homeowners.
Homeowners.
I want to save money. You're telling me no.
It's their property. And one thing that was done, which I thought was great, in Soulard, the Bastille wanted to put solar panels up, and they did, but they had to fight because it's a historic district.
Right.
First they said no, and then he went around and started taking pictures of all the buildings all around him, and there's like all these crazy satellites and like air conditioning units sticking off all the crazy angles and stuff. And he said, how is it less attractive than that? He goes, I got new black shingles. They're going to be all black panels. They're two stories up. You have to be across the street in the courtyard of the other restaurant to even see the roof. So
good
eventually
point.
They let him do it. And almost nobody knows that they're there.
Yeah. It's the hassle he had to go through to get them done.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's got to change.
Yeah. And I think it will, because, I mean, he made a really good point of, you know, is it really less attractive than all the pipes and satellite dishes and air conditioner units that people have on top of their roofs? So.
It's not. Because, and I've had this conversation with David Webb over at St. Louis University. Mm-hmm. You know, he and I are fraternity brothers. We went to college together. But when we're sitting there talking, and we're talking about solar, you know, we drive by and say, wow, that's pretty cool. I wish I would have done that, or I wish I could do that. Whereas you drive by a satellite dish, and you're like, that's pretty ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
So any other big myths or misunderstandings that you're running into?
Well, just the fact that it's expensive. I mean, that's the big question, right? Everybody you talk to, like, I think most people are interested in it because it represents such a cool concept. You're producing your own power on your own property. Everybody kind of strives towards, you know, independence and being free from the utility. And it's just another step towards energy independence and all these things, and clean energy especially. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Green conversations.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, there's all kinds of statistics that show that if we use the available real estate on our roofs and of our buildings and our homes for solar and other renewable energies, we can easily power this country.
Yeah,
over
you just have to do it responsibly.
Right.
And you put it on new roofs. You know, people complain when they think they're going to have to replace the roof and take all the panels down. It can be expensive to do that. So you guys want to make sure you're putting it on a solid structure. You know, just be responsible about it, and it'll last for 30, 40, 50 years producing power.
There you go.
And once the battery technology catches up, it can easily power more of a quote-unquote microgrid, or more of the city once you have stored energy that you can use when the sun's not shining.
And that'll be the game changer once the battery technology for the residential home user, especially in Missouri.
Yeah, it's advancing
really
quickly. Yeah. I mean, if you look at how fast lithium-ion batteries hit the residential market and how quickly they've grown in size, you know, because initially, I mean, lithium is very flammable and explosive, right? Like the thing can burst into flames. So it's come a long way in how they've stabilized it and been able to incorporate it into the bigger battery packs that you can put on your wall in your basement or
it's amazing all the things that are out there, and we don't even think about all of it, but so many people working on solving really tough problems that need to be solved, and solar's been a big part of that, and I think it will continue to be for a long time.
Yeah, and I was going to say, speaking of cost, that the cost of the equipment has dropped so dramatically just in the past 5 years. You'd be amazed. I mean, when I started this company, we were installing for $7 a watt. And then within 3 years, we were at $4 a watt, almost half of the total install cost.
That is a fast...
And that was just equipment costs.
Yeah, wow.
You know, we're around like 350 a watt now for installing. So even though some rebates have gone away, we still have 30% federal tax credit. And with the equipment costs coming down as much as they have, it's starting to make sense for a lot more people.
And do you help people finance?
Yes. So, okay. Yeah, we have special financing available.
Or PACE.
Yeah, we're trying to work with Renovate America and some banks that we have like 12-year financing through. So they're competitive with what some people can get at their credit unions or banks.
Okay. Well, if folks are interested in solar, and this has piqued their interest, if you're not in the Missouri, Illinois area, where do people go to find a reputable solar person in their area? Do you know?
The first thing I do is go to nabcep.org.
Nabcep,
N-A-B-C-E-P.
N-A-B as in boy.
Yes. It stands for the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners.
Okay, we'll put that link up with podcast notes.
That is a nationally recognized program for solar specific training.
Okay.
They have some advanced training. They have a beginner's class. I think they call it the entry level certification. And then from there you can get installer certification or sales certification. And so it's kind of a quality mark. And I can speak from personal experience. I have the installer certification. It's a very difficult test. So anybody that has this qualification is going to know what they're talking about.
Okay.
And you can look them up. There's a list of installers state to state on their website.
Okay. Well, that's a great resource. I've not known about that one. So.
Yep.
No, I hadn't either.
That's good to know about.
So I also consult with people that are out of state. And so I help them choose equipment and work with one of their local installers. I'll contact them on NABCEP for them.
So how do people find you?
It's EFS Energy. We're EFSenergy.com.
Okay.
You can find us there. Email us at support@EFSenergy.com. Or just go on our website. We recently redone our website. Should be working very
there
well.
Go.
It's looking a lot better than it ever has before. So
I'll have to go.
It's easier to use.
In a while.
We've got some good information posted in there in the FAQ, and you can find some other information there before contacting us if that's
awesome. Here. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of your short visit to this. Where are we? St. Louis Home and Garden Show.
St. Louis Home and Garden Show.
I'm losing it here, but appreciate you stopping by. And your booth is rarely empty.
A lot of traffic.
A lot of interest. So
awesome. Yeah. A lot more people are getting interested in solar. So it's a really exciting time for it. So we hope to keep it going.
Well, hey, we really appreciate you stopping by the Green Gab podcast. And you can find this and our other podcasts at greengabpodcast.com or search for the Green Gab podcast on iTunes. And keep inspirating, y'all, and rocking green.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. Links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.